This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Hey, Knowlesy.
Hello, London.
And Hamilton.
And Hamilton and Port Stanley.
And Port Stanley.
Yes,
and everywhere everybody. In between.
Brent Knowles is with us. He owns the Pierside Pub in Port Stanley. And over the years, Port Stanley has become the home of Groundhog Day in the Taz and Jim listening area. I would say it's the greatest groundhog city or town on the planet.
Hear that, Wyerton? Footsteps.
Punxsutawney.
Coming for you.
Absolutely, 100%.
We've had some fun. And this all started, Knowlesy. Well, basically it started because you wanted to promote your pub.
Let's be honest, but it's turned into a movement.
It has. It's turned into a tradition in Port Stanley.
It's like a cult tradition, yeah. We
don't use a groundhog either because we think it's cruel to keep a groundhog locked up year-round just to...
I don't want to look after one all year either.
Just to exploit it one day.
Exactly.
We were running down the list of some of the animals that we have substituted for a groundhog over the years.
We had a kangaroo. We've had a skinny pig. We had a panda. What was that one? A panda? No, not a panda.
Cavy? I don't remember that. What was that
one? A cavy was like a ridiculous South American groundhog.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. A big old weird head, eh?
Yeah.
On that thing?
Stubby nose.
Yeah.
What else did we have? Was that it? Because we had the skinny pig a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
It was
yes,
your daughter's
yes,
pet.
Yes, and then I went to Egypt and we forgot to keep the heater on. I accidentally.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, this is the first time we're hearing this, Noel.
We don't want no part of this.
Yeah. We had to wait for the spring to come, and then we had her in the freezer, and then we buried her, gave her a proper burial out in the backyard after that.
At least she died doing what she loved,
yes.
Predicting the future.
Freezing.
Yes.
Or that.
Freezing. That's a problem when you're...
Hopefully no animal rights activists are going to call me up now.
When you're a hairless guinea pig, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah,
that's the benefit of having hair.
That's true. Taz knows.
Yeah, I know. I wear a toque all the time in the house. So Knowlesy, the festivities start on Wednesday night. We're going to be at the pub on Wednesday night. If you're in Port Stanley, stop by. I know Boss Brad is bringing his Brother Time band to perform, and there'll be a meet and greet.
Yeah. Meet and greet with you guys. Doors will be opening probably around 7:00 and, you guys will be in there signing autographs as usual.
Do we have a Miss Groundhog this year?
We do. She's out in the lobby waiting to
meet
you guys.
Okay, so we're going to meet the animal that is playing the role of Groundhog this year.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to meet Miss Groundhog.
Miss Groundhog, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Why don't you go grab him and bring him in?
Okay, I'll be right back.
I'm excited. Any guesses, Jim? What kind of animal do you think it is?
Well, I'm going to guess it's like something close to a groundhog, right? Like a squirrel or a fox or something.
Oh, look at this.
Okay,
no,
I was wrong.
Look at the size of this dog. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello, and hello, Miss Groundhog.
Hello.
What is your name?
My name's Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Congratulations on the honor of being Miss Groundhog in Port Stanley this Thursday. You must be very excited.
I'm very excited and honored, of course. Thank you, Brent, for that.
Is this your dog?
This is my dog, yeah. This is Tula.
Tula? What kind of dog is Tula?
Tula's a Great Dane.
Yeah, huge. Yeah. Hi, Tula. How are you there?
She weighs 163 pounds.
Did you weigh the dog this morning, Knowlesy?
Now, did we have to dig the hole with an excavator? Is that the point?
Yeah, so how is Tula going to pop out of a den and see its shadow? That's
She's very talented. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, does she know any tricks? What can Tula do?
Well, actually, I've got a trick for her. Jim, repeat after me.
Okay.
You know how groundhogs are very similar to woodchucks? Well, actually, I think they're the same thing. So, repeat after me.
Okay.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Faster.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
One more time, faster.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Very good. Now listen to Tula do it. Watch this, everybody.
Well,
listen to this.
Yeah,
everybody.
We're on the radio, Knowlesy. They can't watch it.
Okay.
Speak.
Sounds like a dinosaur.
Speak.
Come on, speak. Louder. Speak. Speak to her. Good girl.
See how fast she could do
that
it?
Was, I couldn't even hear the words. Yeah. It was so fast.
That was amazing.
Yeah. So how big, what kind of breed is this, by the way, this dog?
She's a Great Dane.
She's a great, how big do Great Danes get? Like in the scale of Great Danes, how big is this?
She's on the smaller side, actually. She's a female. Females typically are about 20 or so pounds smaller than the males.
Looks huge to me.
I feel like we're cheating here. Do we want the groundhog, is it supposed to see its shadow? I forget every year.
If it sees its shadow, it gets scared, runs back in, and then there's 6 more weeks of winter.
I see. Okay.
So it's not good. How is this massive dog not going to see its shadow? Like across Lake Erie in Cleveland, upstate Ohio, they're going to see the dog's shadow.
Sun should be up by now.
This thing is massive.
I don't know. It seems like every year we somehow predict an early spring. So it'll be interesting this year for
sure. We'll see.
She's excited. Feeling the pressure. She's scared.
Okay, Wednesday night, Pierside Pub in Port Stanley. We will see you there. Knowlesy doesn't disappoint. He knows how to throw a party. And then we'll be live 7 a.m. on Groundhog
morning,
Day, which is Thursday morning, with a bunch of festivities. And then Tula, around 8 o'clock in the morning Thursday, will come out of whatever we build for her to come out of.
Yeah, and she will be predicting the Super Bowl again this year.
Ah, now, nice.
How are we going to do that? Are we going to put the team's logos on your patio and whatever logo she takes a dump on?
It better be a big patio.
And I have a feeling we're going to see the shadow of the dump as well.
That would be hilarious. Have you ever heard of Cowplop Bingo?
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Yes, this is amazing.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good plan. Yeah.
So predicting the weather and predicting the Super Bowl with our groundhog, Tula the Great Dane, at the Pierside Pub in Port Stanley this Thursday. We'll see you there.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.
We've got a listener who wants to say something on the line right now. It's Ivor. Go ahead. You're on the air.
You guys do an amazing show. You help me through all my cancer treatments every morning, listening to you guys when I had to go to the hospital all the time, and it was just an amazing thing. I've listened to you guys for years.
Oh, man.
Hey, buddy.
Thank you.
You feeling better?
I started with aggressive stage 4 prostate cancer. All men need to go get their prostate checked, Taz.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to thank you guys. Like, you helped me through a situation that, nobody wants to go through. And I'd listen to you guys every morning, and I said to my wife, I listen to Taz and Jim, and, I need to suck it up and go do my cancer treatments at an amazing hospital. And I just wanted to thank you guys.
I can't tell you how much we appreciate that. You put smiles on our faces today, Ivor.
The world we live in, so much stuff is wine, wine, wine. Well, you guys do the stuff at Victoria Hospital. You walk up there, I always tell people after what I've went through, you walk and go and look in some rooms or whatever, then...
Yeah.
Nobody has that.
If you think you've got problems, that sure puts your perspective in check if you go into the hospital, man.
And there's nobody that doesn't know anybody that has been affected by cancer. I'm doing amazing now, but I thank you for that.
Okay, and we'll go get fingers in our bums, okay?
Yeah, please, well, tell everybody to do it, because the simple thing is, I had it done 4 years before, then in a four-year period, and I'm 58, and then I had aggressive stage 4 prostate cancer, so go get it checked.
It came on fast. Okay, thanks, Ivor.
Okay, it was so nice talking, and thank you for everything you guys do.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
Monday, January 30th, 2023. Didn't know this. Today is National Bubble Wrap Day.
Bubble wrap. This is the bubble wrap.
I can't keep the bubbles from popping, no matter how fast I'm talking. But I got to tell you what happened and why I'm bubble wrapping. I saw the boys stomping on my package when I was walking home to get some bubble wrap to protect my possessions from the movers that must be suffering from depression. Like they got to teach me a lesson for trusting them to follow directions. So I'm bubble wrapping, cause anything can happen when you're shipping and the carrier's tripping. But once I got popping, now there's no stopping. Now I literally bubble wrapping.
Bubble wrap. This is the bubble wrap.
Okay. That was something.
I do love a good bubble wrap, though. I got to be honest.
Happy bubble wrap day. It's addicting.
Yeah.
My kids, when a package arrives, they get all excited. Want to know if there's some bubble wrap in there for them to play with.
Didn't the bubbles in the bubble wrap used to be bigger, though? Like, I feel like it's only the tiny ones you get now, but there used to be ones that were, like, as big as a toonie, at least.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see them anymore.
You don't see the large bubble wrap.
Yeah, I used to love those, jumping on them as a kid.
I used to like setting a trap with the bubble wrap, a bubble wrap trap.
Trapping what?
Like my sisters, like put it outside
like
their bedroom
alarm?
Door. Yeah, and they walk out and scare the heck out of themselves.
Yeah, sure.
Pop, 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 pop. You know who may want to wrap himself in bubble wrap? Jay Leno. He was just in the hospital because he caught fire. Remember, he burnt his face while working on one of his cars? Well, back in the hospital.
Oh, man.
He got in a motorcycle accident last week.
Oh, boy.
In an interview, he says, I got knocked off my motorcycle. I've got a broken collarbone. I've got two broken ribs. Oof. I've got two cracked kneecaps. But I'm okay.
Jeez, man. Like, I guess technically, but... those injuries at that age.
Yeah, he's 72.
Oh, boy. That's not good. That's going to take a while to recover.
You need surgery at 72. Like it's not easy to bounce back from.
Oof.
Jay was driving a 1940 Indian motorcycle. He decided to cut through a parking lot, but someone had strung a wire across the parking lot with no warning flags on it. Jay drove into it and got clotheslined off his motorbike.
Boy. Literally. Well, I guess it wasn't a clothesline, but that's as close to a clothesline as you can get.
That's what happens when you try to cut through the parking lot. Not supposed to do it.
I know. That is illegal, right? The cops can charge you for that, I'm pretty sure.
I've been pulled over for trying that move. Gas station parking lot,
red light,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
Mr. Private Jet himself, Jim Kelly.
Is that going to be my nickname, like Pitbull Mr. Worldwide, or what?
I'm not going to pretend... that I'm not jealous. I've never been on a private jet, Jim, so I'm living vicariously through your experience this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You and five buddies bought a private jet at a charity auction. I told a couple people about it on the weekend. They're like, that's a great deal. It was $3,200.
36, actually. It was $600 each for six guys.
It's pretty sweet, though.
Yeah. I mean, any flight would be around there, you'd think. Maybe not domestically. But if you're flying, like, to Calgary, it's $600 at least.
Flying in Canada is not cheap, man.
Yeah, yeah. So we got the flight was at 7 a.m. So we pulled up to not even the airport. It was like a different, it was its own hangar. No security. You just go on the plane, like you walk out there, and the plane was, no, I'm not being specific, but it's a little smaller than I was expecting, because you see like Drake on a plane, there's all this space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you couldn't really stand up straight, but it was still awesome because we pulled out the tables and we were playing euchre at like 7 in the morning, and then we realized when the attendant goes, do you guys want anything to drink? We're thinking like water or something like that, but then he opens this whole drawer. And there's liquor bottles, wine, beers, M&Ms, Pringles.
Open bar.
So I had, that flight to Mount Tremblant was an hour. I had a bottle of wine and four tall boys. Because it was all free. And on a plane, the beers are so expensive.
When am I going to be on a private jet again?
And a couple glasses of champagne.
Live a little. Okay, I had a feeling that you guys... were getting a little tuned because I think it was around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning and you sent me a picture of you and all your buddies shirtless.
Yeah.
Crammed in there like sardines.
Oh, yeah. We were just on cloud nine. Like, we were having, like, the funniest time, and we're all laughing and stuff like that.
Yeah, so
we saw, what would be funny? What would be funny? So we were like, let's get our tarps off. So we went tarps off.
Okay, now let's take our pants off, guys.
One guy in the corner. I'm already there. But then, like, the crazy thing about the private jet is how fast it got there, because we left London, Ontario at, like, you know, 7:15, and we were skiing in Mount Tremblant at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, it was mind-boggling. But when you start a morning that hard... and then like you go snowboarding for like 2 hours. You stop, get lunch, drink a bit more. You snowboard till about 2:33, and then you start drinking again until dinner. And
you were not following the government guidelines that were put out last week when it comes to healthy drinking.
No, I I think I did my year's allotment, to be honest. So much so that, like, we went out for dinner, and, like, I was lost. I couldn't get back to my hotel room. I was in the basement. I couldn't find my room. I couldn't get in my room. I had to go get security to help me up and put me to bed. So I got into bed, and then I woke up, and one of our friends was missing. He was in another hotel completely. He yeah. couldn't find his way back. It was a mess, but we slowed it down on Saturday, and I went up the hill once, I think, and down. I said, I'm going to take a nap. So I wasted a bunch of money on my lift ticket that day, but yeah, we went to the casino that night. And
did you win?
No, I lost about $60, but we hung out with some...
I was hoping you won big, because it sounds like you've become accustomed to the private jet.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go back. And even like on the ride back, on the flight back, me and my buddies were like, I wish the flight was longer, you know, because it's only an hour. And we just, so we tell the pilot, like, take the scenic route and do a couple laps, because we had it for 3 hours technically each way. And we didn't, you know, utilize that to its maximum effect. But yeah, man, it was awesome. And then like landing in the airport again. You unload, no security again, back in the car, back home. Like, we left
all Trump those Ball. Drugs. Nobody's searching not, you for not, all the drugs you guys had on you.
They didn't even ask or bring it up.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.
Hope you had a great weekend. If you're a wrestling fan, you probably got pretty pumped up for the Royal Rumble. Man, I wish we had someone who watched the Royal Rumble to tell us all about it.
What?
Come on! Not again! No, we just way. Replaced that!
This is thick soundproof glass in the studio. Gosh.
I know. There's no other way to get in here, though. I have to come in. Sorry.
It's Mark LaBelle from our sister station, Fresh Radio. WWE superfan. We had you on the air doing a little preview of the Royal Rumble. Did it live up to the expectations that you had set for yourself, Mark?
It lived up to it and more. There were so many fun moments. Personally, I have a three-month-old son, and mm-hmm. we set him in front of the TV, and he watched his first Royal Rumble, which is a real milestone, right?
Like, that's amazing.
You know, like, first steps, first words, but first Royal
first Rumble.
Yeah. I'm going to get one of those. So.
How old did you say he was?
He's 3 months.
3 months.
Oh, he was probably right into it.
He was into it. He loved it.
We were speculating that Stone Cold might appear as one of the Royal Rumblers. Did it happen?
Yeah, that didn't happen. That was one of the only downfalls of the Rumbles. A lot of times they have a lot of big surprises.
Yeah.
And
non-wrestlers. You said Drew Carey. Did you know Drew Carey 1 year was in the Royal
Mr.
Rumble?
Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah. He made it.
Mr. Price is right. What? Yeah. How long did he last?
Kane pretty much killed him that year, I think. But
Bob Barker would have been great if he came out and, like, Happy Gilmore style, just beat the snot out of some guys.
We had a return of Booker T.
Booker T.
Came in, did his spin-a-rooney and left. And then Logan Paul. That was a big, that's a gift floating around here now.
I messaged you yesterday because I don't think I've ever seen this move. And we have been pretty critical of the Paul brothers. You know, they're YouTube stars who have pretty, they come off as kind of douchey.
Yeah, very, right? Very douchey, yeah.
But I guess if you're a heel in the WWE, it works, right?
It's perfect. He's made for it. He's tailor-made for it.
So describe this move. Describe what happens here.
So basically, there's a lot of guys that do these moves where they'll be on the outside of the ring apron, and then they'll jump up, like bounce off the ropes and kind of clothesline someone. But what happened here was... Logan Paul did it from one side, and a guy named Ricochet did it from the other side, and they both jumped, I don't know how far it is across the ring there, and collided midair.
Yeah, they were flying. Cool. Here, let's play the audio.
I don't know, but I guarantee it's highlight worthy. Oh my goodness, what a collision! What the hell just happened?
Like, it reminded me of if you're kind of like button mashing in Mortal Kombat or something, you know, you just kind of fly up. You don't really know what you hit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they
the sound it makes is kind of gross. It's like a baseball bat hitting an apple when two bodies just collide together in the air.
It was almost like two simultaneous clotheslines. It was very cool. Is it easier to be a wrestler than I thought, or is Logan Paul that athletic?
See, I was in the same boat as you guys thinking he's a major douche, right? But he's had a couple matches now, and I don't know, he's impressed everybody. You really can't say anything bad about him.
Even the hardcore wrestling fans are like, I gotta give him props.
Yeah, like he did a couple months ago a dive off of the ring apron through the announce table, and he had his phone taking like a selfie shot on the way down there.
And he's worth a lot of money. Like, if he cripples himself, like, he's given up a lot of future earnings.
Yeah.
Like, some of these wrestlers aren't paid that well, and they're sacrificing the body to make that paycheck. But he doesn't need to do that for the paycheck.
The last time he came out, he came to the ring with a Pokemon card in a case around his neck.
I remember
just to
seeing
add
that.
To the douchiness.
Yeah, yeah. Like a very rare Pokemon yeah. card worth $1 million.
He's like, I'm a
something.
Baller. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Instead of wearing a gold chain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's...
Who won? Logan Paul didn't win.
No, so Cody Rhodes is, when we were talking on Friday there, he was one of the favorites. Dusty Rhodes' son.
He won it for
He's
Dusty.
The one that won it all.
Yeah, cool. His dad's never won, so he did it for his dad.
Nice.
One other weird match, though, they had was it's something called a pitch black match, and they put on black lights, so it was almost like cosmic bowling in there.
Oh, boy.
Something.
Gotta make sure your shorts are clean.
Hopefully I didn't pull a shirt out of the laundry that day.
That's right. There's a couple people in the front row that were a little concerned that they might have something on their face.
I am a wrestling fan, so I'm going to make fun of my own, but yeah, that's really risky with a
black light.
Wrestling fans here, yeah.
CSI. WWE.
And now, the winner is... Devin Peacock.
I want to see you peacock. You peacock.
Here we go, sports with Devin Peacock, our sports guy. Did the Cincinnati Bengals get robbed yesterday, Dev?
Well, yes and no. I know that's not the greatest of answers, but they lost the game. They had a chance to win the game. There's always going to be bad calls that don't go your way. Had they not roughed the passer, unnecessary roughness was the actual call on Patrick Mahomes with 8 seconds left. Who knows what would have happened? That definitively lost them the game.
Yeah, Joseph Osai from the Bengals pushes Mahomes. It was a clear foul.
It was a clear penalty, 100%. The issue with that call, though, is there was a similar situation a few plays earlier when the Bengals had the ball where Joe Burrow, it looked like pretty clearly, he was the victim of unnecessary roughness, and it wasn't called against the Chiefs. And so it was a constant theme the entire game where the officiating was just really bad.
Well, the other issue is moments before that happened, Kansas City, for some reason, was allowed to have a fifth down.
Wait, like, I didn't see the about? Game. I heard about this. How is this possible?
Okay, so this is confusing because clearly they allowed a fifth down in the game. So what happened was there was a second down where the Chiefs threw the ball, was incomplete. Incomplete passes are supposed to stop the clock. In this case, the clock did not stop. So it's third down, but the clock is running. Both teams are acting as everything's normal. One referee notices, hey, the clock's running. We need to blow the play dead. But the play goes ahead. The Chiefs complete a four or five yard pass. So it should be fourth down. The refs gather and say, wait a minute, that play should not have counted because the clock was running, but they allowed the play to go ahead. So they did a do-over. And on the do-over, Mahomes was sacked. And there was a penalty on the Bengals, and so the Chiefs got a first down because there was unnecessary roughness on the quarterback, and that gave them a whole new set of downs. Now, nothing came
from that. I've gone
cross-eyed.
I have no idea what happened there.
Nothing came from that new set of downs, so they didn't score, but it just kind of underscores how confusing of a situation it entirely was.
I think the refs were cheering for Kansas City. I think the NFL was cheering for Kansas City. I think Tony Romo was cheering for Kansas City. Like, that guy, he got a little... I think there was movement anytime he talked about Patrick Mahomes. You know what I mean?
Listen, I mean, the storyline is...
Oh, Patrick Mahomes! Tony Romo.
The storyline is much better. Kansas City and Philadelphia, you have the Andy Reid Bowl.
Why is it the Andy Reid Bowl?
So Andy Reid, now the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, previously the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Kelce brothers, you have a Kelce who plays for the Chiefs, you have a Kelce who plays for the Eagles. So you have that dynamic as well. The storylines are so much better. It had to be either Kansas City and Philadelphia or Cincinnati and San Francisco for the storylines to be the
so
the
you think
best.
They rigged it too?
I don't think they rigged it. I mean, I just think the officiating across all sports is that bad.
Yeah, I felt bad for Bengals fans. That stunk. You guys are Buffalo Bills fans.
I feel less bad.
Yeah, so I'm sure you didn't mind seeing the team that eliminated the Bills get eliminated. KC versus the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. We need to focus. We need to talk about the 49ers and the Eagles. We're getting off topic. Now we're discussing whether or not Devin Peacock has good nipples.
I do.
You claim to have good nipples.
I have great nipples. That's not even up for debate.
Pretty strange. Jim posts a shirtless selfie of him and his half-naked friends on their private jet.
It's shirtless. It's not half-naked.
Half your body was naked.
Half your body's
No, that's not half naked, is it?
It's 100% half naked.
When you say half naked, it's not a shirt. Well, maybe, I guess, technically.
If you've got pants on and no shirt, you're half naked.
I think you're only 3/4 naked with a shirt off with pants. Anyway. But yeah, then Dev thought I threw down the nipple gauntlet as a challenge. But listen, Dev, I've never judged your nipples. They're great. Don't worry.
You and I are like nipple twins.
But you were commenting on all the nipples. And I always saw two of the nipples. Think that you've got weird nipples.
No, I got normal.
Why else are you so all fascinated with everyone else's nipples? All three of them. All right. What else we got? Oh, yeah. Dev also just said that he quit umpiring girls' softball because the girls were too mean to him. And we got a text message. It's like, hey, guys, LMAO, laughing out loud at the softball talk. I've been a softball coach for several years, and I know how cutthroat players and parents can be, and certainly the coaches as well.
Yeah. No, the girls, they cut to the core of who you are as a as a teenage umpire.
They call me umpire weird nips.
Yeah, yeah. Three strikes? No, you got three nips.
San Francisco, man, disappointing end to the Brock Purdy story. Listen, his career's hopefully not over, but he did get injured during that game, and it was just a huge momentum shift after that.
The San Francisco 49ers this year were the team where it's just like, where people would be asked, like, why won't you die? Because Trey Lance goes down, Garoppolo comes in, they do great. Garoppolo goes down, Brock Purdy comes in, they do great. Then Brock Purdy goes down against Philadelphia, Josh Johnson comes in, he gets injured. When you lose four quarterbacks
crazy.
In one season, you are not destined to win. Brock Purdy then comes back into the game, even though they revealed after the game he's got a UCL in his elbow. Like, he basically, you saw it in the game, he couldn't throw more than like 5 yards. So they were reduced to just running the football. Otherwise, they would have to have Christian McCaffrey, their running back, who's their emergency quarterback, be the quarterback, because teams these days don't carry three quarterbacks on the roster because
and there's
who loses?
No Zamboni driver in football.
The grass cutter, maybe.
The hot dog guy gets pulled out of the stands.
Yeah, because he's throwing hot dogs to people down the rows. Oh, that would be a Cinderella story.
But yeah, it's like you could see like teams like, why won't you die? Because the 49ers just keep coming back up and
not
keep fighting.
Not yesterday, though.
But it was tough to watch because they could do nothing but run the ball. And when you can do nothing but run the ball, it's easy to stop.
Touted as the best defense in the NFL, and the Eagles didn't seem to have a problem figuring out San Fran's defense, which makes me think, how are the Eagles not going to win the Super Bowl?
Well, Patrick Mahomes, the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, the early analysis is kind of a thing. You look at the Eagles, great team from top to bottom. But if you're looking at who's the best player on the field in the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be Patrick Mahomes.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Wait till you hear how much it's going to cost you to go to the Super Bowl. You're saying like base level nosebleed tickets, $5,000.
Yeah. This is an average price. This is to get in the door. The lowest ticket right now, according to Ticket Smarter, the cheapest single ticket for the game is $5,368. It's row 22 in the upper bowl, so I'm guessing right at the back.
That's crazy. I had a chance. I've never been to the Super Bowl, but I had tickets one year. A friend of mine worked at a bar and won a promotion, sold the most Budweiser, and won tickets to the Super Bowl. And we went down there, and we sold the tickets.
You know, oh, man.
I think at the time we got $2,000, like $1,000 a ticket.
It's hard to turn that down.
Well, I was 20 years old, 1920, and I stayed. It was the Super Bowl was in Miami, so I stayed in Florida for an extra week with $1,000. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. But now, knowing what you know now, how big prices are going
to
get.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever get another chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Tell your buddy to sell some more damn Budweiser. Get on it.
It's Glendale, Arizona is going to be the site of the Super Bowl this year. We know it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. And boy, oh boy, Eagles fans pretty pumped about that.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
I always have faith in the whole situation.
Keep the faith!
We obliterated them, we ran the ball, we played smart. Most importantly, we stayed healthy the whole game. Brock Purdy who? They said Brocky, they're going to put the statue up and disrespect us and put a 49ers jersey on the statue. Brock Purdy who? Number one more, y'all. We're coming for y'all.
We're going in there and taking it. It's our house. Nobody comes in here messing with us. E-A-G-L-E-S.
How's that guy feeling this morning?
It's a funny thing. We did it, y'all.
We is here. We is taking over. 49ers, go home. We do not want y'all. Get out the camera, big man.
It's Eagles forever.
Next week, Bengals, Chiefs, doesn't matter. We stack them up, we knock them down.
Eagles all day. Eagles all day, baby. E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-E-S-E-L-
Philadelphia yesterday during the celebrations after the Eagles beat the 49ers handily.
If they win the Super Bowl,
man.
Call in the Army.
Yeah, nice knowing you, Philadelphia.
It's our house! Nobody comes in here messing with us!
Devin Peacock, our sports guy, joins us. And I don't know, Dev. There's a lot of talk out there that the NFL is rigged today. KC game against the Bengals. Bengals really got screwed over by the refs.
Bengals had some calls go against them 100%. To rig that game, though, is like...
Wouldn't all the players have to be involved and the refs?
I mean, we're asking for a level of sophistication from the referees that they have shown they clearly do not possess, right?
Who would the NFL rather have playing in the Super Bowl? The Bengals or the Kansas City Chiefs?
Neither market is all that huge.
Is it just because Mahomes is a big name and he's a stud right now? Like, that's the only reason I could see
them
trying to tip the
scales. They've set Mahomes up to be the big superstar stud, and he keeps losing, so they had to rig it to get him to the Super Bowl.
I don't think it is rigged.
How am I the conspiracy guy today when it's usually you, Jim?
Yeah, I do believe the NBA is rigged.
Oh boy, yeah.
Totally. I honestly feel like there is evidence that the NBA is rigged, but I haven't seen like a great theory that the NFL is yet.
So you're just saying that the refs last night were bumbling buffoons.
They were idiots. But here's the thing. In the NBA on the weekend, there was also a case in the Lakers-Celtics game that ended in controversy because LeBron James was driving to the hoop, was fouled, but wasn't called for a foul. He freaked out. Lakers lose the game. Referees after the game admitted they got it wrong. And so we have this situation in sports where we have referees who make all these calls and we have instant replay of various forms.
Technology.
But so often the replay is dependent on the original bad call by the referee. So is there enough information to overturn the call? Whereas for me, it should be, is this right or is this wrong? Who cares what the original call was? So I think sports need to move away from
the
referees. If you want to use the technology, go with the technology. If you don't, just go with the human element, but understand there's going to be mistakes.
Now, yeah, I don't want to sound too soft here, but are we also being too hard on refs? There is no job in the world where anybody is perfect. Like, there are going to be mistakes if there's humans involved. It just is what it is. Is there no, like, leeway we can give him? Bad call here, but let's move on.
I wish we had a cage to open. Just let a Bengal out of his cage to attack Jim right now.
You mean a fan or the actual tiger?
Guys, a Bengals fan riding a tiger. Yeah.
Let me tell you, back in the day,
Jim's defending the refs.
I umpired, like, 12-year-old girls' softball. And they were vicious. Like that, I umpired for 1 year, and then I was done because those girls were mean. Their parents were mean, and I wanted no part of it.
I reffed one weekend soccer tournament when I was in grade 10 and it was grade 8 boys soccer, and I never reffed again in my life. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Like, referees.
Oh, those poor refs. Is that
the
story?
They're getting paid a pretty penny, but if there are going to be humans reffing, there will inevitably be mistakes. So either get rid of the humans and go all tech or forgive them a bit.
Robot refs.
It's crazy to say, you know, mistakes are part of the game, but mistakes are part of the game. I mean, you have that. That happens all the time. But for me, it's like you can't have it on both where the leagues are saying, okay, we have the instant replay, we're not using it the entire way.
I think it was beyond a mistake yesterday. That whole debacle that unfolded in the final minute of that KC game was like next level incompetence then.
It was a new one.
Yeah, I mean, but if the Bengals didn't have the unnecessary roughness against Patrick Mahomes, do they make that field goal with 8 seconds left?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. And so despite all the incompetence, Cincinnati still
screwed
up and
won. Gave it away.
Yeah. They made the play. They made the mistake.
Listen, we're supposed to be talking about San Fran right now, but we're out of time. So do you have a couple minutes?
I have some time.
Okay, we'll talk about San Fran and the Eagles, that game coming up with Dev here.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.